Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 679. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, with the regular schedule, it is watching a little NXT and doing a little podcasting. That will get talked about later this week. With not the usual guest host. but for tonight, we got plenty on deck. The news came out, oddly enough, on a Saturday of all days. And I don't know, I do not watch the Twitter machine nearly as much during the weekends as I do during the weekdays. But oddly enough, I did happen to hop on Twitter and I'm like, the fuck? That was one of those, like Braun Strowman was surprising. Like, to me, he might have been the most surprising at this point.
Yeah.
But Bray, that, the hammer dropping on Bray Wyatt and them citing budget issues, kind of, sort of, it is head scratching to say the least.
I mean, budget cuts are the biggest bunch of worst shit ever. For a company making this much damn money. Now, for someone like Bray Wyatt, who has literally had only one match this entire year, came back for 3 weeks, has had a just bizarre, you know, disappearance, reappearance, then disappearance again. I don't want to speculate on the reasons there's speculation out there, but that seems like it could be a personal thing, so I don't want to do much speculation. But I can see why, if you think about what he probably makes and his output this last year, you get it to a degree, but at the same time,
right.
If there is a serious personal issue, and considering the fact that he, you know, a lot of people have one way or the other, you know, strong thoughts about the Fiend gimmick.
Oh.
But the bottom line is, it seemed to make a lot of money.
Yes.
At least from the merchandise standpoint.
Well, and I even remember not that long ago, I feel like when they moved to Fox, they made mention that Fox was so interested in the Wyatt character and that they wanted the Funhouse on their show. Like,
yeah.
That was, what, 2 years ago now? I mean, they've only been on Fox, what, a couple of years? Or a year and a half?
It still hasn't hit 2 years. It's going to hit 2 years in October.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, if those rumors are out there, you're doing something right, you know, when the
there was so much, positive feedback about The Fiend and the Funhouse and all that, I mean, the first, thing I guess people started holding against it was in the build-up to the Seth Rollins match, and then the disastrous Hell in a Cell match.
Oh.
Bray developed a reputation as a guy that no matter what you did, no matter what kind of hocus-pocus stuff you did, no matter what you did in the build-up, when the bell rang, he would under-deliver. And that dated back to the original incarnation of Bray Wyatt as the Eater of Worlds.
Oh, you know what? That's something I hadn't really thought about in this whole hullabaloo about him being let go. It is a weird instance of recent, you know, there are so many people that are really good in the ring.
Yeah.
And there's usually at least one or two matches that you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this match with him, you know, and whomever else. But I honestly can't think of a match that Bray Wyatt has had that really stands out to me.
Some of the early six-man tags, particularly against the Shield.
But even then, like... you can only wrestle so well in a six-man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're only getting so much time in there. And obviously, the gimmick, it's fine. It worked for the gimmick, you know? He let the two big bruisers... I mean, even though he's a pretty big bruiser himself... he let the two big, even bigger guys kind of, you know, dole out the dishing, which made sense. And then he'd usually do the cleanup. So, yeah, like, you can play your part in that type of a match, but to me, you can't ever, like, affirm that you're going to be a great singles wrestler in that type of a situation. There can be a great singles wrestler in that situation, but, you know, is kind of a, still at that point, fresh face, because, I remember watching him as Husky Harris, and I'm trying to remember, even at that point, if I remember thinking about how good his in-ring work was, and if it was more, he really hammed up that character. So, like, he's always had a personality.
Yeah, he's always had a personality. He's always been very creative. One of the places where I will feel bad for him, and always will, is... I think he's had a large hand in co-creating this Fiend gimmick and all the lore of surrounding it. They literally took his gimmick and gave it to someone else.
Yeah. I mean, they have made some very, very minor tweaks to the character and given it to someone else. And that is really strange, man.
Yeah, this whole last year of him has been really, it's been really strange.
Yeah, like, at first it just seemed like she was, you know, another side project.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to use, sidekick. And that makes a great deal of sense, you know? Like, his character works better as, you know, kind of having someone to lead. But when she... I guess it would have been kind of interesting to me to see her be the one leading him. Just because it would have put him in a different role than he'd been in previously. But, yeah. I guess I never would have expected that, though. It is a character direction for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I expected after WrestleMania from them to go. It really did feel like a write-off for Bray Wyatt and the complete transition to Alexa Bliss, and then the short while later, the next night, introduction of Lily. So, yeah, no, it's been a strange year. I mean, we know right now they are very bottom line focused, and it probably pretty much came down to Nick Khan looking at what Bray Wyatt makes, looking at that one match he had this year, and making the decision.
It's a weird spot. I mean, I hope if he does need help, and again, if that's what is part of it, I hope the WWE still helps, like they have done for numerous other people. You know, most of it has been substance abuse, but if there are other issues going on, I hope that they help him remedy those. I know that that can still be done if you're released. But that also does, like, until those types of, I don't know if those rumors need to be answered necessarily,
No.
but it is going to be something that's going to be there.
His 90 days are up, it'll be interesting to see if he speaks about anything, or if he just shows up somewhere else and under what gimmick or character he'll come up with next, and then just and then to move on. Those are good questions. But yeah, no, this was it's surprising and not surprising. Surprising because of how much he's been pushed over the years, and how much it seemed like how invested they were in the Fiend character and all that, and then not because he's had one match this year.
Yeah, it's definitely been strange because I mean there definitely have been other rumors out there, but nothing confirmed that him and Vince didn't see eye to eye. I kind of wonder since Alexa Bliss did seem to be the one to be the leader, maybe he didn't like that idea. Because I've seen some creative differences, rumors, but again, like there's nothing confirmed, so it's hard to, pin down one thing exactly that contributed to this situation. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. I was yeah, it was that was definitely the shock of all shot like of all the releases. That one is really surprising, but like you said, like and he's another guy that I where do you go with him at this point? It really is
No.
hard. Like, I mean, The Undertaker kind of got put into that position a long time ago of this guy is so gimmicky. We can't really give him the championship belt. He held it early in his career, but definitely the later portion of his career, he did not hold that championship a whole lot. Because after, did he hold it like maybe once or twice after? Because I feel like he won it as Biker Taker.
Yeah, he went into, he probably a couple of times as Biker Taker. I mean, he. I think he won the. Actually, I think he won it like three or four times in the later years, but never necessarily for very long.
Yeah.
But then there are also other extenuating circumstances with that. Yeah, it's.
I guess I, yeah. Well, yeah, you've got to find ways to have a character like that away from the championship more than they're around it. Like, I guess even if Undertaker maybe won it a little bit more than I thought, considering his tenure, he did not win it, with that much frequency. For that later portion of his career, and he really could have, and yeah, I don't know. That's yeah, it's really strange to have gimmick theft, and like Alexa Bliss is definitely in a weird spot where it's like, what do I say after all of this? Like. Obviously, she's just moving along with her character.
Yeah, no, she didn't do anything wrong. She doesn't write the show.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that, I guess we can maybe just move along to Raw off of that, honestly.
Well, no, there was another big release this week.
Oh yeah, we can't get out of the release category yet, can we?
No, we cannot.
And it really wasn't even this week, if reports are true, that it happened a little while ago. Ric Flair released from the WWE, possibly, because I don't know if any reports or even... I know that Flair confirmed that he asked for and got his request to leave.
Yeah, Flair has said that, so that's the official story. There are people who said that it was not an involuntary request, that Flair sent Vince McMahon a very cursed... Now, I think that this is... at some point, there was a very cursedly written text message from Ric Flair to Vince McMahon regarding Charlotte's booking. Now, did Flair request to be let out of his contract after all that, or did Vince, then decide to involuntarily release him? What I do know is WWE's official statement did not contain the words "We wish Mr. Flair well in his future endeavors."
If he said Charlotte was not being booked well, I 100% agree with him.
Well, yes. Obviously, he wasn't doing anything for them. I believe he did sign a new, last year we're talking about.
Oh, right.
Last year, a new performer's contract, because they were really planning on taking this Lacey Evans thing pretty damn far. We've come to learn. So when all of that went away, they took him off TV. I guess he was still getting paid like a regular performer and not just someone on a Legends deal who shows up occasionally. So yeah, I can see it. Obviously, Flair has got a lot going on in his life. He does so many appearances, multiple commercials. And, AEW seems to have an unlimited need for Legends of Wrestling to fill certain roles.
Man. I don't need to see him on my TV.
No, I don't. I really don't. It wasn't just the writing. He was definitely not... He has not been at his best for a very... Or near his best for a very, very long time. Even on the microphone.
It's just been tough. Honestly. Like, he's one where... whatever exactly happened to him a few years ago when they had that near scare of him dying, he just hasn't been the same since then. And this is not surprising. Like, if you were in that bad a shape, great that you bounced back from it, but also not surprising that you're not the same person as before. So yeah, he wasn't needed in the WWE, honestly. I guess you could just keep him under a Legends contract at this juncture, but also I don't really want to see him. So just let him stay at home, people. Let him rest. He doesn't need to be doing that shit. Let him do a commercial shoot. He can go do that for a day, make some cash, and we're good. Out. Anything else to say about Ric Flair, I guess?
I think you said it all.
Yeah. Because what is it? Is it Safe Auto that he's doing the ad for that's everywhere, seemingly, at this point?
Car Shield. Now, you say everywhere, but I think that's... those only air on during wrestling shows. But that's pretty much all you watch.
This is a good point.
Especially if it's all you watch live. Well, other than regular sports, but... Yeah, you don't see them there either.
That is... Yeah, you know what? Now that you say it, I'm like, you know what? I did not see any of those during the NHL playoffs, I don't think. I could be wrong, but...
There's four of them a week.
But yeah, and it's even crazy because I always see them, they get tested out on ROH first. Because I always see those on there, and after they get tested there, they seem to leak out to the WWE and now AEW.
And they were also playing them heavily during the period where there are wrestling documentaries on multiple channels every day, it seems, as well, on A&E and Vice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of times to see Ric Flair, so I'm gonna guess he's doing okay in the money department.
Well, if history's any indication, not for very long.
No. Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. I think that does it about for releases, though, at this juncture. So do we want to start with the fact that we have all found out that evidently, even if a contract is filled out for someone else, that you're allowed to put your signature on it, and that makes it a binding contract.
You know what? It's not the first time they've done it. It has happened before, so there is precedence.
Well, I've got to admit, I don't remember the last time they, I was gonna say, I feel like they've made the contracts a little more real looking because I feel like previously they used to just leave the name underneath the signature line blank instead of putting a name in there. But yeah, maybe because I haven't seen it in a while, I thought it was a little extra silly this time around.
Yeah, well, what can you do? It was a fun segment. People, the crowd popped for it. It was a nice little moment for Cena. No. I wasn't sure exactly what they were going for with dragging out the announcement of the match, but they got there. Obviously, it's the match people want to see. It's happening.
Yeah, that's been the weird thing. Both of the, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, that both of the championship matches have taken these weird routes to get to where we thought they were going to be all, the whole time along. Yeah, this one was no different. I mean, I guess, for several months now, people have been saying that Cena Reigns was going to be the SummerSlam main event, and it is now happening, finally. So, and you're right. Like, I do think that the crowds have still been pretty hot these days.
SmackDown, they've well for numbers for SmackDown and AEW, they've certainly been hot throughout the entire show. John Cena absolutely makes all the difference for not, maybe not all the difference. SmackDown's just simply a better show with better, more interesting stars. But John Cena is the ultimate difference maker. So again, SmackDown does feel like an event when he's around. So
Oh.
that's been. So that's been really good.
And it, well, it definitely doesn't hurt that he's getting to play off of Roman Reigns, who is, as we've duly noted, been doing his own great work on SmackDown there. So it works out to have them trading barbs in this situation. And it should, well, we still got another couple of weeks of build up here. I'm sure we will get more trash talk and more anger from Mr. Reigns moving forward.
Oh yes, we absolutely will. I think we've definitely got some good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, 'cause he gets to blame everyone, including John Cena, for this situation happening. And it'll be interesting. I guess it'll be interesting to see what Finn Balor ends up doing this whole situation also. Because do you think there's a chance that it ends up as a three-way match?
Absolutely not. That cannot happen. I've spent way too much damn money for a damn triple threat match.
That
No,
is fair enough.
it's Finn Balor against Baron Corbin. Cool. It was a weird way to interweave him into this whole thing and have him end up with nothing. That's I don't that's, that part I don't get at all. But.
Yeah, he's gonna get a I'm trying to think of wording. He's just gonna get an easy win over Baron Corbin, I would imagine.
Yeah,
Unless
that's just
Baron
gonna.
Corbin's luck starts to change.
That's what's just gonna be on SmackDown. I don't, at this point, I don't know what you could even put Finn Balor in for SummerSlam.
Oh.
So I don't. So yeah, but he'll be in the but he'll be in the bullpen for later. They could definitely do more with Reigns, him and Reigns. Now for Cena, the fact that he has been announced for at least one date in September at least allows the possibility of a title change during the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, I still don't think that door is open very wide.
Right. Well, Ric Flair's gone now, so Cena can win number 17 if they want to just do that out of spite.
Oh man. That would be a pretty serious level of spite to do it for that reason. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if John Cena ends up breaking that record at some point. But yeah, I don't really expect it to happen this time around. So I guess let's move on to the other championship match because that one got confirmed. And this one definitely seems like it's going to be a singles match. What's your level of excitement on Goldberg versus Lashley at SummerSlam?
I'm trying to just put myself into that Mark fan mindset of, it'll be cool to see Goldberg, the whole entrance, everything, short 5-minute match, just not. But everything they're doing with Goldberg. Now, I don't know what were real and what wasn't about Goldberg. It was bizarre. You could hear the Goldberg reacts to Goldberg chants, and then you could hear booing, and then it's like, wait, were the Goldberg chants real? Were they piped in? What? Yeah, this. I think as we're getting closer, it's feeling like Goldberg is a desperate, obvious replacement for Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
Whatever deal they couldn't get with Brock, for whether it's financial, creative, or just COVID travel reasons, yeah, it feels like that. They broke the emergency glass here, and there's not much of a story you can tell with Lashley and Goldberg. Goldberg's lost his last two matches. Yeah, it's what it's gonna be. It's
Yeah.
not gonna be very long. You notice Goldberg was actually limping upon his entrance, and they
Oh.
didn't do the whole entrance, starting from backstage either.
Oh, I didn't completely catch or think about that part.
So it's like, on top of everything else, the old guy hurt his knee training, trying to get himself back into Goldberg shape. So now they even have that to overcome.
Yeah. That one, yeah. Dragging Bill's family into it always seems to help give things a little bit of snarl.
Yep. They try to do that, but then you realize, then you find out the kid's only 15. It's like, yeah, I guess I get why they didn't. That didn't get more physical.
Yeah, that does make sense. Like I was a little bit surprised. I was kind of expecting some type of physical interaction, even if it was, you know, I wasn't expecting like a pile driver or anything, but a shove or a punch or something like that, I wouldn't have been completely surprised by. But yeah, when you go with minors, it's best to just leave things alone. Yeah, so that match will be kind of an interesting one, I think, too. Like, that was just a very circuitous path to get to the two championship matches. What else stood out to you this past week in WWE?
Well, I guess we get to the return of the boss. Sasha Banks returns on SmackDown, saving Bianca Belair from attack from Carmella and Zelina Vega. Huge reaction, you know, very, very over the top, you know, hugging of Bianca Belair. You know, once again, everyone saw where this was going from the beginning, but you still took the ride with them. They did the tag match, they won, and that dastardly Sasha Banks, literally with the literal backstabber, takes down Bianca Belair and beats her down. And we're going to have a title match for SummerSlam, and this time, unlike WrestleMania, Sasha Banks will be fully healed.
Yeah, I do not think that there's a question as to the alignment now. There might have been a little bit heading into WrestleMania. Yeah, with Sasha Banks definitely turning on her after befriending. Why was that so hard? Sasha's definitely the heel. Who knows how the crowd will act moving forward, but I mean, Sasha does always seem to do better as a heel. So I guess I like her in this situation.
Absolutely, yes. She is definitely better as a heel, but she somehow always does not stay a heel for very long and ends up a babyface. I don't get it. But she definitely needs to be the heel for this scenario. She will be. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. And we definitely have, I mean, that's another definite, high profile matchup to have, but I guess I would not expect Sasha to, take back the championship at this point. Feel like, they are definitely, checking, to see how long this, reign for. Why did her name, Bianca Belair?
Yeah, I don't know. That seems to be the direction. But, you know, I'm not saying there's no chance of a title change. I mean, obviously they're running a draft in the next 2 months, I think. So, you know, so things with both women's divisions will shake out differently. So we'll see where they go there. I could see them trying to get 2 months out of this, though. You know, I mean, Sasha doesn't have to win at SummerSlam in order to do that, but I could certainly see them, you know, trying to get 2 months out of Sasha and Bianca here.
Yeah. And I would hope that they would move Sasha around, or I don't. Maybe they swap champion brands, which has been done in the past also. But yeah, I do think that Sasha would need some new opponents, because I don't know what I don't think she really has a whole lot to work with on SmackDown after she's done with another round here with Bianca Belair.
Right. No. I think a change of scenery could do Sasha some good.
So yeah, I definitely think she needs the fresh air. Okay. And I can't believe I'm going to be saying this, but why is Reggie the second best booked person in the WWE, only behind Roman Reigns? Am I allowed to ask that question? Do you have an answer?
I don't necessarily have an answer for you. No. They decided to run with Reggie as the 24/7 champion, and since then, he's been unstoppable. Just beating everybody. They love his Cirque du Soleil stuff. What else can you say?
Yeah, I am so lost. Like, I really don't. I don't get it. I don't know what they're after. I don't know. Does he really draw that many views on YouTube? You know, I'm lost. Like, this is definitely one where I'm like, am I getting too old for wrestling?
Well, yeah. Yes, but it's still that good.
Oh man, yeah. Not the best thing. Because I was sitting here running through the review, and I'm like, oh, I forgot he had segments on both SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah, I feel like that's gonna be a thing. Going forward, Reggie's going to be appearing on both as 24/7 champion.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to me, and I really do not get it at all. Yeah, 6-man match wasn't anything else on SmackDown there. Man, I am, I've got to admit, Drew McIntyre kind of starting to seem like an asshole to me. What are your thoughts on Mr. McIntyre continuing to threaten our friends from India?
I've been down on McIntyre since he started the whole Scottish, what's the word I'm looking for?
Storyteller gimmick.
Yeah. The proverbs, whatever the hell you want to refer to them as, fairy tales, whatever. Just pick your term there for that. Yeah, it's been obnoxious for a bit here. This feud with Ginger and Gus Cruz, just not happening for me. And the fact that I'm afraid they're actually going to bust out the Punjabi prison for SummerSlam does not have me happy.
Oh my gosh. That will be pretty epic if you get to watch a Punjabi prison match.
Yes, it will be. It would be very epic if I got to watch a Punjabi. Because think about it. In a building one-third that size, the last time they did one, what happened? People chanting, "We can't see shit."
Oh man, that would be 100% enjoyable if that's what ends up happening. I mean,
I'll go full Jeremy Mays in the messenger.
Oh I would love that. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that's just, I didn't like what they did 2 weeks ago with Shanky. Like, I that bothered me more than anything that happened in the Nick Gage, Chris Jericho match. Nick Gage.
Yep.
Chris Jericho match. Like, this young green guy from another country, he's still trying to figure out what's going on here, and beat him over the back with a chair 30 times. That was excessive as hell. I've been out on this feud ever since. I'm just like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, that's the other thing that just really has not helped me try to get invested in this thing. I mean, I still do feel like Drew McIntyre brings a certain charm to his character that not a lot of other people do. Even if it's definitely getting a little long in the tooth for me. I don't care for storyteller Drew McIntyre. So, but he beats down Shanky. He just destroys Veer last week, and it's just he's really made short work of these guys. Like, I didn't expect them to win matches, but for him to just completely dominate two guys that are at least the same size or larger than him is, it's kind of awkward. Like, I know that Drew needs to be a badass, but being beat down by people that size, by three people at least your size, is not unreasonable.
Yeah, no. And he's gotten one over on them almost every week. Yeah, it's a weird feud.
Yeah,
I'm not into it.
Yeah, that one is not hitting well for me. Weirdly enough, not that I'm super excited, but I feel like I've learned more about Mustafa Ali and Mansoor and Mason T-Bar than I did in the entire run of Retribution. I still don't think it's great, but
no.
At least they're doing something.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Raw's got that 3 hours to fill. That's all filler.
I guess this was one I kind of forgot about it just because I didn't. I only saw a couple of outrage posts about it, but. Charlotte Flair bringing up Simone Biles in mental health. What are your thoughts?
I wouldn't do it. It's not somewhere they need to go. But she didn't really stick any kind of a landing with what was going in that direction. She seemed to then veered off into making it about her. But not really making a logical correlation. If you want something very offensive that mentioned Simone Biles, check out Max Caster's rap on tonight's episode of AEW Dark.
Oh,
yeah. I don't want to give that much more publicity than that. But let's just say AEW. In the exploiting Simone Biles
war
has surpassed WWE. But going back to Charlotte, you know, it's this week was better with her, Nikki, and what they did with them. Wasn't a huge fan of Nikki attacking Charlotte from behind with a chair. But Charlotte was being so over the top obnoxious. It wasn't that big of a deal. The match itself ended up really good, especially the finishing stretch. And, you know, Nikki did get the win, so, and without Rhea's help, so she did beat Charlotte. You know, even if she could argue that Charlotte beat, you know, ran herself through the table and, you know, beat herself. And my God, did she go through that table. Like, that was dangerous. Like, that, like, those table pieces were, the jagged edge of the jagged half of those table. I think it did cut her, like, over, like, the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
That could have been worse than that.
Yeah, she, there are a lot of people that do not completely commit when they're putting themselves through a table. Charlotte definitely committed on that one, and that table really, really exploded. So, good on her. And I will imagine that she will likely use that as her excuse that, Nikki didn't beat her, she beat herself. Which is fine. I do feel like, I'm kind of with you, like, Charlotte started off in a bad spot with the Simone Biles comment, but she's like, oh shit, this doesn't have anywhere to go. And I don't know if she called an audible or if the promo was so poorly written. It didn't really, like you said, it didn't follow the point through, whatever it might have been.
Yeah.
So, I did think that Charlotte, for the first time in a while, I'm like, oh man, she's just being straight up bitchy. And I kind of liked it. You know, they keep on relying on her kind of being a tweener for whatever reason. And again, just kind of let her be bitchy. If people cheer and she's bitchy, just roll with it, man. There's no reason to, to kind of teeter-totter back and forth. Oh, we kind of moved away from it earlier. What do you think about Alexa Bliss being attacked on the playground by Doudrop after the Lily Lucian cost her a match?
It's a thing that happened. you know, they're going forward with this thing with Lily and Eva Marie and Doudrop and or Lily, Alexa with Lily. And right now I'm working on the theory that they brought Lily back because in the next couple of months they're going to do a crossover with Chucky.
Oh, why did I not think about that? Oh.
They got rid of Lily, and then they brought her back with crowds coming back. So the whole idea was they didn't want to. And not that it's like heavy or anything, but I mean, I guess they bring the entire playground set with them to Raw every week still. But so they took Lily off TV. Now Lily's back, and of course I'm talking about Lily like she's an actual person.
That's it's kind of easy to do since they kind of played it this week like there's a possibility that Lily could become corporeal, but you know, if they really do have Alexa Bliss go full fiend, she will I guess turn into Lily at some point, I would imagine.
This could be where we're going. But for right now, you know, they're just doing the stuff with Alexa and Lily and Eva Marie and Doudrop. It's what it is. I'm over it, but at the same time, I guess it doesn't really bother me that much either. it takes up one or two segments on a 3-hour show at this point. It's not like it was even just weeks ago, even just pre-return to the arenas, where it seemed like Alexa Bliss and was just in 5 or 6 different segments throughout the night.
Oh, right. Yeah, they take up an appropriate amount of time on the show, and like you said, like it's I guess it's fine. I'm kind of out. Like I'm not just because of Bray Wyatt, but her character's just been in such a hamster wheel of a state that they're kind of killing any fun with it. Like, she hasn't had any direction since WrestleMania. Like, as long as Bray has been gone, like, it's still really had her character hasn't had much of a real direction. And this is the first time it's actually had some direction, it seems like. But, whew, man, that's Alexa Bliss Doudrop is an interesting match, and nobody wants to see Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie.
No, I certainly do not.
So, yeah. Whew, man. Do you want to keep on seeing The Miz and John Morrison in multiple segments?
That's a no. I am just, I don't get this moist thing. I can't believe I just used the words. I don't get this moist thing. So I'm mad at it right there for making me say moist. It's stupid. I hate it. I don't get it. It's dumb. I know I'm just saying the same, basically the same type of word over and over again. Words have been the same thing over and over again, but it's really bad.
It's only good because it is extremely annoying.
It's not. It's not so. It's not so bad. It's good. In my opinion, it's not. It does not cross that line. I just don't like it. It's just bad. It's just really bad. And there was way too much of it because I don't know who failed the COVID test, Mr. Flight, whatever. Because John Morrison and and Damian Priest felt like they were out there for 3 or 4 seconds. Anymore.
Yeah, they were really out there for a while, and it was just like, whew, man, this is not as much as I like Damian Priest, and I'm gonna be I did really like his interaction backstage with Riddle. That really seemed supernatural to me, and then I did see pop up on Twitter a picture of them back on the Indies quite some years ago, it looked like at this point. So if they have a real life friendship, to me it certainly came across on their backstage interaction there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that went on too long, but hey, at least that was a good part. What do you make of Karrion Kross now being 1 and 2 on the main roster, and honestly, it being leaked like he was supposed to lose to, it was leaked that he was supposed to lose to Jeff Hardy. Now that you've lost 2 out of your 3 matches on TV, it definitely seems like a reasonable thing that he was going to lose to Jeff, and I don't get why they think a losing streak is a gimmick that anyone should ever have.
I don't get it either. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're doing it. There are games being played in front of the camera that should be kept behind the scenes. But there is you can't convince me that things are great in the Vince McMahon Triple H relationship at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have got to be livid that your champion has ended up performing this way.
Well, in Vince's mind, he'll be going, well, he's my champion. I signed the checks. I set your budget. You know, these games are, it feels like these are the games that are being played here. And that, you know, Vince is taking, I don't know, maybe Cross has pissed some people off. Because once again, it's not like his portrayal on NXT has been that great either.
I guess that's the other thing that's just so awkward to me.
Why
like,
is he still the champion? If you know he sucks, well, just have him lose it. He's made two title defenses since this crap really started with him. Since people literally looking him dead in the eye and telling him he sucks, and he's sitting there going, "Okay, I guess I do suck." Just like, you know, we had the 5-way match and then a singles match with Gargano. He could have lost either of those matches. It's like, but we're going forward with the Samoa Joe thing because apparently now at this point we have to believe that Karrion Kross is a threat to Samoa Joe.
It's just awkward. Like you said, like this does seem like something that should be settled backstage, but it's being settled before our very eyes. And like, I don't think we've made any real bones about it. I think Jeremy might be the only like huge fan of Karrion Kross that we record
well,
with.
Jeremy has some terrible opinions, but come on, dude. What the hell is wrong with you? I can't even respect that. No. You go ahead. You keep going.
It's just like, then don't use him. Like, if everyone really doesn't like him that much, like, why is he taking up this much airtime? It is. Like, I understand that you've got to use some time off, but this is, and I guess that was my greater point. Like, for the most part, none of us on this show are fans of his, but in some ways I sympathize with him. Like, this is just, you know, some weird machinations going on. Like, to be shit on like this by both of your bosses is just weird. Because the one boss lets you be run down, like you said, by all of your opponents who are half your size.
Yeah.
And then the other guy's like, oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to start your gimmick by having you on a losing streak. This has worked for absolutely nobody, but I'm sure you can pull this off. Huh? So weird. Just,
I'm now perversely fascinated every time he shows up on Raw. What's gonna happen?
I mean, it's a weird stage to be in. Like, now that him and Lee each have 1-1 win, like, are they gonna have a rubber match?
I guess they have to.
And, you know, like you said, like, it's going to be oddly fascinating because, you know, for the most part, people, at least in our roundabouts, are definitely pro Keith Lee and not for Karrion Kross. So, if I had the choice between the two, I'd definitely pick Keith Lee over Karrion Kross. But.
The issues that have always been there with Cross is just like he's presented as this big guy, but he's not that big. He's not he does some stuff, but like what's he supposed to be? What's his gimmick? He can't be a big dominating guy on the same show as Omos.
No,
you know what I mean.
Yes, when a legitimate 7-foot-plus guy is on a show It is really hard to be huge and intimidating when you're maybe 6 foot two.
Yeah, I mean, he like Cross. He does like some MMA style stuff, but he doesn't. It's not all he does. He's got some power moves, but he's not all a power wrestler. It's just the it's the everything we've been talking about for months. What is he supposed to be? He's like an amalgamation of like 10 different things, and none of them are consistent from week
Yeah.
to week.
And that's the other thing. Like, it's really kind of weird that Vince has kind of let that part of the gimmick surface, too. You know, he's kind of supposed to be the fixer, but he's just like, oh no, I'm going to exacerbate the problems that Triple H started. It's just like, because, I mean, he has him come out without Scarlett. And yeah, he's. I mean, again, like, when he was standing face to face with Jeff Hardy, he wasn't. I think he might have been shorter than Jeff Hardy. Or at least Jeff Hardy was the same height. And you're like, oh, Jeff Hardy isn't that much smaller than him.
No, he wasn't.
And I've never thought of Jeff Hardy as this big guy. So yeah, it like you said, it is now it is perversely fascinating what happens with Karrion Kross. It's like they're trying to get him to crack, and nobody knows why exactly.
That's a good way to say it. That's a good way to say it. That's a good way to say it.
Well, luckily, we're happy for Keith Lee. So honestly, I think on that note, we can get on out of here. Unless there's something, have I forgotten anything? 'Cause the only other
Not really.
okay. One of the travel beers that I picked up while I was out down south, when I went to Tennessee, there, Pivot Brewing, Volta Hefeweizen. I'll tell you what, Hefeweizen's not all that crazy as far as taste goes. There's a nice banana and clove component to the German yeast that they use in this, which is exactly the way it should be. And it's a nice, again, like I have really been digging the lighter beers, and I do feel like Hefeweizens have come back and hit me right in the palate during these summer months. So if you happen to be down in Lexington, Pivot Brewing is a good choice to hit and have one of their Hefeweizens there. They also have quite a selection of ciders there, so they are also a cidery. So a little bit of beer, a little bit of cider. It was a fun place to hit. So that is the Beltane beer of the show. I'm at DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, but you can download us any number of places like Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.